Well, good morning and welcome in the name of Jesus, the one who conquered sin and death and who reigns forever. Welcome to any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, and welcome to those worshiping along with us via the live stream. Listen to Ephesians 1. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. In him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. We are gathered here this morning to praise God for sending his Son Jesus to us to redeem us from our sins. Not just that, he also gave us more. He gave us the Holy Spirit to live in us, to commune together, to draw us to the Father each day. So as we worship God this morning, thank him for his goodness, his faithfulness. Thank him for making a way that we could go to him forever. Thank him for all that he has done in your lives. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you see all. You know all. You were there from the beginning, and there's nothing beyond your control. There are times that we do not see you at work or understand what you are doing, but you're always there. You're working as we face this life, and we trust that you know what we need when we need it. We praise you, Father, for sending us your Son, Jesus, to save us. And then you went even farther. You gave us your Spirit to live in us, to be our guide and to commune with us. Help us to know and do your will daily. And as we worship you this morning, Lord, I pray that you will move among us. Remove anything that is not from you. Just help us to pour out our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I invite you to stand and worship with us. And during this first song, we'll also be lifting the offering, and the children can come forward for My Coins Count.
Thank you. Let us bow for prayer. Father God, we are here because we love you, and we're here because we love gathering in your name with other believers to worship. Lord, we thank you that we have knowledge and we have the desire for you to be the king on the throne of our hearts. And yet we confess that many times we bump you off because we want to drive for a while. We just ask that you would help us to allow you to be Lord of all. And as these funds that we share as a continuation of worship to you are used in youth ministry, we pray that the necessity of your lordship would become clear at even early ages. We ask for the leaders and their spouses and the others in their family that are making sacrifices that you would equip them with energy, with wisdom, and with spiritual protection, and that truth would be taught and modeled and understood as we serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
God, thank you so much for being the great I am. And thank you for being here with us this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would be near Tony as he brings us your message. Open our eyes, open our ears, and our hearts to receive what he has to share with us this morning from you. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Are you enjoying school?
Yeah.
Yes. Doesn't sound that way. Sounds like, yes. We have to go, so I guess we'll enjoy it. So what is this?
A key.
A key, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's many types of keys. What do keys do?
Open
stuff. Open locks, yes. So I have some pictures of some different keys. It's a key lime pie. Oh, that's not what we're talking about. There's computer keys. That can open stuff. You can open your bank account. You can do all kinds of stuff with a computer key. You have some real old style keys. Well, you have a chart of keys to sing a song in. There's car keys. Did you know you can use your fingerprint as a key? See, I can unlock my tablet or my phone with my fingerprint. My finger is a key, right? Yeah, you can unlock your phone, your finger or your thumb. Whatever you set up could be a key. I mean, we have many different types of locks. You can unlock your car. You have a bank vault, right? That's a really big lock, so you can't steal. So what do locks do? They keep stuff safe, right? They keep people out who aren't supposed to be in a certain area. In the Bible, cities, they would shut their gates and lock the doors at night so the enemy couldn't come in and attack them while everybody was sleeping. The city of Jericho did that when the nation of Israel was camped outside. Before they came in, they made sure all their doors were locked. In Acts, we have Peter. See, sometimes locks are to keep people in, right? Peter was in prison. He had shackles on his wrist. They were locked fast. He was in a jail cell, so there was a door there that was locked. Outside of that was the door to the jail, and then you had gates beyond that for the city. Well, God sent his angel, and he unlocked the wrists. He unlocked the shackles on his wrists. The jail cell doors were opened. The city gates were opened. He walked out freely. So the person who has the key is the one who's supposed to unlock the locks, right? If I give you a key to my house, I'm giving you permission to come into my house whenever you want because you have a key, right? So when we ask Jesus into our hearts, we're giving him the key. We're giving him permission to come into our heart. We're saying, Jesus, I give you my heart. I want you to come in and enter into my heart. We're giving him permission to come into our heart. And we do that by asking him to be our Savior. So remember when you see keys, that Jesus wants us to open our heart to him. And give him the key so he can unlock our hearts. So I want to pray for you guys, then you may have a snack and head back to your seats. Should we pray? Heavenly Father, I just pray that you bless these children. I pray that each one will open their heart to you and give you the key to it. Just watch over them, protect them, draw them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack and head back to your seats. Welcome again. Just a little update on Randy Umbel. Many of you have gotten the phone tree message that he had his kidney transplant and he's recovering, so we can continue to keep him in our prayers as well. And a little update on Quentin. He has ridden the roller coaster, gone through some really dark days, but he is stable again. So I'd like to spend a little bit of time praying for Randy and Quentin. So will you join me in prayer? Lord, we praise you and we thank you for answering the prayers of many of us that Randy would receive a kidney. Your timing was perfect and you know everything that is going on. I just pray that you would continue to heal him and restore his body to health. I just pray that you would give his family peace as well during this time. Lord, I lift up Quentin to you. He has gone through some rough days and hard times, and you know everything that is going on in his body. I just pray that you would heal him, restore him to health. Lord, you know exactly what is going on. We just pray that you would move in your power that has no equal, that you would bring healing to him. Pour peace upon his family during this time as they walk down this road. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like to thank you as a congregation for praying for me and Teresa as we went through this process of looking at different education options. I spent a day at STEP observing a class. I took a course at Rosedale online to see how online learning would go for me and what are the best options for me. I took a counseling course up at Abundant Living. So starting in October, after much prayer and research, I am going to be starting online classes at LBC. I'll be pursuing an associate's degree in biblical studies. Those classes run on 8-week cycles, and I'll be doing one class at a time, doing part-time work to accomplish that goal. So thank you for your prayers for my family and I as we walk through that process. They're appreciated very much. So this morning we are going to continue our series looking at one of the seven churches in Revelation. Last Sunday, Pastor Larry taught us about the church of Sardis and how God was calling them to wake up and be alert to what was going on in their spiritual lives. And God is calling us to wake up and be alert to what is going on in our spiritual lives as well. Well, this morning we're going to look at the Church of Philadelphia. We're going to start by reading Revelations 3, 7 to 13. Revelations 3, 7 to 13. Write to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Thus says the Holy One, the true one, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will close, and who closes and no one will open. I know your works. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one can close because you have but little power. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Note this, I will make those from the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews and are not, but are lying, I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to endure, I will also keep you from the hour of testing that is going to come on this world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. The one who conquers, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never go out again. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus, again, is the one speaking to John while he's exiled on Patmos, and this letter is to the church of Philadelphia. Philadelphia is almost all the way at the bottom. It's the second one in that line to the end. The city of Philadelphia was founded in 189 BC by King Attalus II of Philadelphius, a king of Pergamon. He named it Philadelphia, which is Greek. It means brotherly love or brotherly affection. It's roughly translated as brotherly love. Because of the great love that he had for his older brother, who was named Eumenes II, he preceded him as the king of Pergamon. So it's named in honor of his older brother. It's located in the region of Lydia in Asia Minor. It's about 25 miles east of Sardis, southeast of Sardis, and a little over 100 miles east of Smyrna along the coast. It is situated in a valley near the Cagamus River. The city was plagued with earthquakes and was almost completely destroyed by a giant earthquake, which happened in 17 AD during the reign of Emperor Tiberius. Just gives you an idea of where the city is and why it was named what it was, a little bit of the background. Jesus is showing us his authority. It says that he is the Holy One, the true one, the one who has the key of David. Well, Jesus is God, so I understand that what it means for him to be the true one, the Holy One. But what does it mean that he has the key of David? So we're going to dig into that a little bit. Isaiah 20:20-22, God is displeased with the chief steward in the palace. His name is Shebna, because he is defying Isaiah's prophecy. He built a tomb for himself, saying that he's going to die there. But Isaiah was prophesying that the nation of Israel would be taken out of the nation they were in. They would be exiled to Babylon. And so by him building this tomb, he is saying God is not going to do what Isaiah is saying. So Isaiah is pronouncing judgment on him, and God is going to replace him. So Isaiah 22, On that day, I will call for my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and tie your sash around him. I will hand your authority over to him, and he will be like a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I will place the key of the house of David on his shoulder. What he opens, no one can close, and what he closes, no one can open. As the chief steward of the palace, you would wear the master key of the palace on the shoulder of your tunic. It was a sign of authority. The king gave you the authority to open the palace, close the palace. Any door that you opened, no one could shut. And any door that you shut, no one could open. He had the authority to allow you to enter or not enter the palace. The key to the house of David, it tells us whose house he was watching over. He was watching over the house of David. And in this passage in Isaiah, it's a representation, it's a prophecy of Jesus, that we can see Jesus woven throughout the New and Old Testament. So we're going to go back to Revelations, and then we'll dig a little bit deeper into what the house of David is. So Revelations 1, 17 to 20. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He laid his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys to death and Hades. Therefore, write what you have seen, what is and what will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars, and you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Did you see how Jesus described himself? He holds the keys to death and Hades. Jesus has the authority over death and hell because he conquered sin. He conquered the grave. He died on the cross and rose again for us. Just like the palace steward, Jesus has control to open and close doors that no one can open and no one can shut without his permission. Jesus shows more and more of his authority. Listen to 2 Samuel 7, 11 to 17. "Ever since the day I ordered judges to be over my people Israel, I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you, the Lord himself will make a house for you. When your time comes and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up after you your descendant who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish the throne for his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will discipline him with a rod of men and blows from mortals. But my faithful love will never leave him like it did when I moved it from Saul, whom I removed from being removed from before you. Your house and kingdom will endure forever, and your throne will be established forever." Nathan reported all these words and his entire vision to David. Nathan comes to David and gives God's word about his kingdom, because David wanted to build a temple for God, and God said, "You're not the man, but your son, who will sit on the throne after you, will be the one who builds a temple for me." But Samuel goes on to show us what God's future plans are, that there is this future kingdom that will be a part of the line of David. There will be a king on the throne forever. And these words that Samuel is giving are fulfilled. The things spoken about in the Old Testament are fulfilled in the New Testament. And Jesus is telling us and the church that these things are going to be fulfilled. Jesus goes on to tell the church that he sees and knows their works, that he has this authority from the line of David, that he is going to be there forever, and that we can't hide from God. When Jesus places an open door in front of us, no one can close it. And when he closes a door in front of us, no one can open it, no matter how hard we try. In our verses for today, it doesn't really tell us what that open door is in front of that church. We can speculate to what it is, and we can list a lot of different things that it could be. But we know Jesus has placed an open door in front of this church. The church in Philadelphia says that they are small. Is that small in number, small in political influence, small financially? We don't really know. But we do know that they are faithful. They were held on to their faith. They did not deny Jesus or His Word. They held on. They did not deny their faith in Jesus. And Jesus goes on to say, because you held on to your faith, I'm going to make the ones who did not believe in me bow down at your feet because you were faithful. They endured because Jesus commanded them to, and He commands us to stand firm in our faith, to hold on. Jesus tells them that He's going to give them a reward for their faithfulness, that they will not have to go through the testing at the end that everyone else in the world is going to have to face. Well, that'd be a good thing, right? Not having to go through the testing that everyone else is going to face. We call that persecution, right? I don't really want to face that. And I'm sure many of us don't either, but we know that God is faithful, that when we hold on to our faith in Him, in Jesus, He will carry us through. And we will be challenged in our faith. And we'll have to make a choice whether we follow Jesus or not. In John chapter 6, Jesus is teaching the people that He is the bread of life, and that unless they eat of it, that you have no life in Him. Jesus was giving this difficult teaching. The people were having trouble understanding it. They were thinking that He was telling them to eat His physical body. But we know that He gave up His physical body to death on the cross for everyone's sins. And we use the bread at communion time as a representation of His body that was broken for us. He was giving them a symbol, not something that they were actually to eat. And this teaching, it led many disciples to turn away from Him. And they did not hold on to their faith until the end. John 6, 66 and 68. From that moment, many of His disciples turned back and no longer accompanied Him. So Jesus said to the 12, "You don't want to go away too, do you?" Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life." Many of the disciples, this large crowd that were following Jesus, they didn't hold on to their faith in Jesus. They turned and they walked away. Jesus is encouraging us to hold on to our faith, to not walk away from Him. He's saying, "I am coming soon." We can look forward to Him coming again. And when we do, no one will take our crowns. Our reward that we get when we faithfully follow Jesus every day of our lives. How can we lose our crowns? Well, just like those disciples that didn't follow Jesus to the end, they weren't faithful to the end, they lost what was promised to them. Even though they witnessed Jesus perform miracles and do many amazing things, they still turned and they still walked away from their faith. And this can happen to us if we're not digging into God's Word, if we're not spending time communing with Jesus, listening to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. If we're not taking the time to be with Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, we can be led astray. If we don't know what He says in here, it can be twisted, it can be turned, and we can be led astray away from our true faith in Jesus. See, the enemy likes to do that. He likes to give half-truths and make us doubt and distract us from where our faith should really be. If we are faithful unto the end of our lives, we will be a permanent fixture in the kingdom of God. We will worship God continually in His presence. Tells this church of Philadelphia that held on to the end that He will make them a pillar, something that is unmovable, that is continually in the presence of God. And then He goes even farther in His promise. He says, you will receive new names, the name of God, the name of the city of God, and the new name of Jesus. You're going to receive that. It will show authority. It will show Jesus' power in us and where we belong. This letter to the Church of Philadelphia applies to us. We can see Jesus. We can see who He is. We can see His authority. It's revealed in His Word. We can see that Jesus has fulfilled prophecies. And the ones that are not yet fulfilled, they will be fulfilled because He is faithful. We can see that Jesus is from the line of David. He is the one true living God. Everything points to Jesus. We need to be like this church. Christians who are truly following God, truly following Jesus. We're the minority in this country. Christians who are truly following Jesus are the minority. We have little power, like this church did. But our power is not from this world. Our power is from God, from the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And we need to hold on to our faith. We need to cultivate the soil of our hearts so it does not become hard, does not become dry, and infested with weeds. We need to grow our relationship with Jesus. And that might mean we need to do some hard digging to break up some soil. He knows our hearts. He knows what is in here. He sees us. He sees what we do. We need to strengthen our grip on Jesus. And hold on to Him, hold on to His truth, His Word, and not this world. The truth is this, that we need to have faith in Jesus, our risen Savior, that He died on the cross for my sins, and He is the only way to be with the Father. There is no other. Then, our works, they become an outward symbol of the inner change that has happened in us, an expression of our love for Jesus. It comes out in the things that we do and the way that we treat people. There's no other way. We need to hold on to our faith, trusting that Jesus will fulfill His Word and His promises that He has made us. We can hold on to them as truth. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Jesus, Your Son, making a way for us to come to You through faith. Give us strength when we feel small and alone to stand for You. Help us to hold on to You through faith in Jesus every day. knowing that you are faithful in the promises that you make us, that we can be with you forever. Help us to stand when the enemy attacks us, not in our power, but in yours. Watch over us daily. Protect us. Give us a boldness to speak the name of Jesus to others. Help us to be faithful to the end and hold on to you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song. I have one announcement for you, that Pancakes at Paul's is going to be open tomorrow, even though it's a holiday, so from 6 to 9, if you would like some pancakes and sausage and build community relations, I encourage you to go. Last time they had smiley face pancakes, so will you stand for a parting benediction? Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the Lord, your labor is not in vain. May God bless you, strengthen you, go in peace, Hold fast to the word of God. God bless you. You are dismissed.